You guys would like to, you can turn to Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Again, this was we've been going through this series for the last three Sundays for the whole month of February called When Church Hurts. When Church Hurts. And we'll review that in just a minute. But let's get started with scripture this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, 32, just an incredible verse. If you don't have it highlighted, a good one to highlight in your Bible. The Word of God says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. That's some strong words right there, isn't it, right? We've been looking at church hurts over the last few weeks. If you guys will remember, the very first week, we kind of described what a lot of people, maybe that are in our families or in our neighborhoods, have experienced. Something has happened in a church setting, and they have maybe justifiably or maybe not, they have taken that hurt and they've made it into an excuse to say, I don't want anything to do with the church because the church did this to me or the church did this to my family, that type of thing. And so we were kind of went through some specific stories. You remember the first week of people who laid out and shared some of their church hurts. And we were, our call that week was to listen. And I hope you guys will take that to heart. I hope that you know here too, we have some really great listeners in our church family, right? Preacher's a talker, he has a hard time with listening. But we have some great listeners, people who love you and will hear you and will hear your story. So always please know that you're loved and you're cared for. And if you've got a story or a question or a hurt to share, we want to hear it. Then the next week, we looked at some of those justifiable resentments. And we've been on Wednesday nights doing the life of Joseph. This last Wednesday, we did Potiphar. And we talked about the Lord's favor. It's so crazy to see how God blesses Joseph. Like he is putting him in the right places. And I'm sure at the time, Joseph's like, am I really going to go in jail again? I'm going to go at the bottom again. And God is working it out to his glory. And what we were reminded of is that it is important that we allow people who have been hurt to process the hurt. I heard this as a child. Maybe some of you heard something similar when I was growing up. It was basically forgive, forget, move on, get over it, right? Be tough. And usually what that turned into was just straight out denial. Anybody ever, can anybody identify with that? Just the preacher, right? It turned out to be like, well, this happened to me, and now what I've told in order to get past it is I just need to forget it and go on to the next thing. And what we found through, even through Joseph, and what we're going to see on Wednesday nights here pretty soon, Joseph's going to get upset. We saw today in our Sunday school lesson where Paul, he had a thorn in his flesh. He prayed three times for God to take it. Even our Lord himself, he prayed in the garden, Lord, let this cup pass from me, right? There's a time and a place to process hurt. And as human beings, our bodies are made to process that. And we call that grieving. And it is proper and it is right to grieve. And so some people who have been through this type of hurt or pain, and maybe they have a justifiable resentment, something that happened to them that they should feel hurt for, we need to make sure that we are allowing the Lord to allow them through the grieving process. And the Lord will walk them through the grieving process. And so that was a kind of a good lesson for us. Now, if you remember last week, we kind of switched gears just a little bit more. And we talked about this was a hard one that sometimes church is supposed to hurt. I don't like that. Right? I shared some of my father's discipline techniques last week, and that my discipline was supposed to hurt because it was supposed to help me grow. And we learned again some reminders from the scriptures that sometimes the Lord pricks our heart and he prunes us and he will chisel you, if you will, in order that we might be everything he would have us to be. Amen. That's hard, but it's true. And we need to understand when it is that the Lord is doing his work in us. Now, one of the things I think we took away from last week that was so clear is that it's not my job to be offensive. Amen. We let the cross do that. The cross in itself is offensive enough. Last week, we looked through a lot of the list of why the cross is offensive to people. Our job is not to offend people. Our job is to share the gospel and let the Lord's gospel do its work. But our job is to be what we've talked about right here today, that we would be kind and compassionate, that we would be forgiving. Well, today what I'd like to do is we're going to finish up our series today, and I'd like to hopefully bring some hope when it's difficult to come to church. Has it ever been difficult for you to come to church? Again, I was celebrating with Ray and Ida because it's so awesome that they have someone for the last 57 years. They always knew they had a buddy. They didn't have to go to church alone. I know there were certain Sundays maybe they did, but as a whole, what a privilege, right? But we all know different people, for whatever reasons, have had to come to church alone. And I am so impressed with people who come alone. It is hard to come alone, isn't it, right? Yet today, I hope the Lord will encourage you in your coming, that there is grace for you in that coming, okay? So let's hang on to that idea a little bit this morning. For some people, it's hard to come to church because it's a reminder of maybe what they don't have or what they have lost. I remember my friend Rick and Bev Krittemeyer, my best friend ever growing up, great man of God. But I remember how hard it was. They wanted nothing more than to have some children of their own. And one of the hardest things for us, Wendy and I, was when we were having Brooklyn to celebrate with them. I knew how much he loved me, my friend Rick, and I know he wanted to celebrate. And so I wanted that to be good, but I also knew how much hurting he was having because at the time they were not able to have children, right? And yet in their faithfulness, they kept coming to the Lord. And by the way, in their case, the Lord delivered. They were able to adopt a daughter named Emily. She's amazing. It turned out good. But that reminder, sometimes it's hard to come because of what you may have reminders of. This morning, I'll be careful with this a little bit, but I want to share a little bit too. I know for my friend Corbin Dillard, his dad was such an instrumental part of this church. And his dad's funeral was in right here in this church. And for him to come for a while was really hard because this place was a constant reminder of one of the people that he loved the most. And yet the Lord, if you guys, you need to get to know Corbin if you don't know him. He's one of the most compassionate people, seriously, in the world that I have ever met. His love for others is amazing, right? And God has worked even in that. So again, today, as we think about this, I want to be mindful of the fact that some people come to church hurting. Ray and I, we get up here, we love music. And man, you start lighting up a song, and Teresa too, right? We're going to just flat out smile and sing and shout, and we're having a good time, right? I mean, we are. Seriously, inside out, that's what we feel. But I'm also mindful of the fact that sometimes people that come into this place, they don't have that same response. Sometimes they come with a deep hurt, and they're trying to sort out a situation. And it was hard for me. As a kid, I was always trained this way, and I did this in my ministry earlier on. It was like, well, come on, you grumpy people, put a smile on. Isn't the Lord good to you, right? And you want to kind of almost get on to people because they're not happy because they're in church. But some people that are coming are so broken and so hurting that we need to allow them a space to find the Lord even in their hurt, amen? And today I think you're going to see the Lord speak to that as well. So again, I don't want to minimize anybody's hurt today. And I'm so amazed and proud at the perseverance of you who participate even when days are difficult. We can pick on Rick and Vicky today because they're not here. You guys know Rick and Vicky's story. Rick and Vicky lost a son to suicide. In my mind, that would just kind of be the end of me functioning as a human being, right? And yet the Lord over time strengthened them, encouraged them, saved them, delivered them. And they're some of the most faithful people on planet Earth. And you see what God can do with hurting people when they offer their hurt to him. So today, again, I want to be careful because I know we all have different hurts and I don't want to minimize anyone's hurt. I will share this with you. Again, my hurts are different than yours. I have been through hurt. It's not the same and it's not on the level that some of you have been through. For me, probably one of my greatest hurts in my life was to lose a 3-month-old nephew. And I could at least get a glimpse of the raw pain that you just feel like anything that touches hurts so badly. I have just a taste of that. Some of you have been through so much more, but I want to remind us all today that there really is hope in the hurt. So today we're going to have three very simple things. I'm not usually a three-point person, but I do have three very simple today. Some things that we can do when it hurts to come and to be present at church. So this may be for you today. Maybe you're hurting and you need to hear that, and that's okay. More than likely, though, most of you look like you're doing pretty good. And my guess is this is for you to deliver to somebody else in your life, somebody who has either been hurt by the church or who is broken and hurting now. And this is going to be a way for you to prayerfully enter their life and share some of these things that you know that are true from the scripture. First thing this morning, remember, you are not alone. Even in your loneliness, you are not alone. Again, be cautious here, but we could probably work our way through every pew today, and you would find people who have been through hurt and who have found the Lord's presence in that hurt. Amen. And you could give testimony, and I could give testimony. And so sometimes we feel like nobody else even has a clue what's going on. They don't understand. They've got it so good. But I would tell you that everybody, just about everybody in this room, has faced those things. And so my first challenge you today is Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, and is this: carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. Today, the Lord is speaking, and it may be for Brother Robert, it may be for Stu and Melissa, maybe for Melissa and Scott, maybe for Megan. It may even be for Joe and Kim. You heard all the other prayer requests that we shared today too, right? You're not going to be able to intervene in every one of those, but I bet you there's something the Lord is calling you to do where you can help carry the burden. And part of us dealing with hurt is serving. It seems so counterintuitive, doesn't it, right? I'm hurting. I need the help. I need the attention. I need the love. What you find is that so many times when you obey the Lord in the middle of your hurt, he gives you an opportunity to serve and to love. And then in return, he just overabounds with grace. Today, carry each other's burdens. And then this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. I'm not going to go through all in the day. There are 94 verses in the New Testament that use the words one another. Right? Well, let's go back to Ephesians 4 one more time. Be kind and compassionate to one another, right? Forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The Lord himself reminds us today that we are loved and that we are not alone. One of my favorite New Testament scriptures also has its roots in the Old Testament. It's Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verse 5, second part. Here we hear from the author of Hebrews, and really the Lord himself says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man or what can a mere mortal do to me? Again, this morning Sunday school is so good. If you read about Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he starts laying out what he's been through. He's trying to defend himself as an apostle, and he begins to share all of the things, right? He was stoned and left for dead. Anybody here done that? He was beaten three different times, three different occasions. He was beaten with 40 lashes minus one. If you took off the back of Paul's shirt, you would see literally the scars of Jesus on his body. Anybody done that one? Paul was shipwrecked and really thought they would not make it. Now, I have actually been shipwrecked in a small boat. My dad and I barely survived. But it was nothing like that level. And he starts to lay out different scenarios, right? And then the one that hits me the most, he says, and above all this, the care of the churches. The hurt, the pain, the physical suffering. And yet what sticks out with us and we're reminded of is in Hebrews, this idea right here. In all these things, Paul knew that he was never, ever alone. Even today, in the scripture, He's prayed three times, Lord, would you take this thorn from me, please? And God said to him, what? My grace is sufficient for you, right? My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so Paul says, therefore, I will all the more glory or delight in my infirmities, in my hardships, in my persecutions, because when I am weak, then I am strong. What he's saying is he knows he's not alone. Now, it's hard to feel that sometimes in your hurt, isn't it, right? Today, if you're finding some strength and you're in a place of strength, this is the time to take that truth and stick it in your heart. Remind yourself and know that you're not alone. That even when the hurts and the storms and the battles and the persecutions and the struggles and the suffering and the cancer and the diabetes and the hip replacement, even when those things come, I am not alone. God promised me he is with me. And I would tell you today, if we had time to walk through the pews, so many people would share their story about how they didn't have to walk alone. This morning, first thing that you can share with others and you can remind yourself when you're facing the broken and the hurting times, you're not alone. I promise you, you are not alone. Second thing this morning, and I think this may be the hardest, at least for your preacher, maybe for some of you. When you're broken and hurting, you need to ask for help. Anybody else have a problem with this? Your preacher is such an arrogant, egotistical, proud person at work that half the time, somebody else could do the task probably in half the time, but because he's so stubborn, I'm going to do this myself. I don't need any help. I'm not reaching out to anybody to help. I should be able to figure this out. I'm good enough. I'm strong enough. I'm smart enough. I'm fast enough. I'm whatever enough. I can do it. And so I don't reach out for help. Here's what the Lord would tell you today. Some of you arrogant, strong, stubborn, proud people. Ask the Lord for help. Do you believe that? Well, let me help you a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. The scripture says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. In verse 7, one of our favorites, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Or if you're fans of King James, cast all your care upon him, for he what? He cares for you. Get some help. What does the Lord say? You have not because why? You asked amiss. You asked not. Oh, the day. Some of you drive me crazy. And I'm sure we drive the Lord crazy. Ask for help. When you're feeling broken, when you're really struggling, when you're in physical pain or mental pain, or when you people that you love are hurting and suffering, the Lord says, come to me. Humble yourselves. Don't think you have to do it on your own. I'm here for you. Cast your worry, cast your care on me because I care for you. We need to shout that from the mountains, don't we? The Lord, the maker of the ends of the earth, the one who put the two in H2O, the one who's the ultimate chemist, the ultimate scientist, the most powerful says, I care for you. Praise the Lord. Don't forget that. Hang on to that. Put that deep in your heart. And you need to share that with people that are hurting in your own life. And you need to be the witness to them that the Lord does care for them. And he's showing his care for them through you. We are such a proud people. But if we're going to make our way through our loneliness or our loss, we need to ask for help. You may today hurt because of what you don't have. But please let me remind you today what you do have. You have a loving Father who has made a way for you to be reconciled to him. Someone who is ready to hear you call at any time, day or night, and someone who can lift you up in due time. I was needing a little boost, but I think I'm getting it this morning. Isn't the Lord good? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, just a quick reminder. I think this is such a good passage about as we think about calling out for help. The author of Hebrews says in verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast or hold firmly to the faith we profess. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Verse 16, so let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What is wrong with you people? To me, this is like one of the best verses in all of the Word of God, isn't it? The Lord invites you to the throne room. Do you remember the story of Esther? And Esther knew that if she went into the throne room, she could lose her very life, because that was the dignity and the authority that lied in that throne room. And she was trying to answer the Lord's call, whether it was right or not, to make her way in. Well, that was Artaxerxes. He is nothing compared to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has invited you into his throne. And he says, you can come with confidence. And you can find mercy, and you can find grace in your time of need. You're still quiet. What am I going to do with you people? That is so good, isn't it, right? You can go into the very throne room of the Creator of the ends of the earth. You can go with confidence because of his son Jesus, and he has broken down the veil. He's busted through, and his righteousness covers my sin. I can enter into my loving Father and ask for grace and mercy for my time of need, and the Lord will deliver. Ask for help. Today, I'm encouraging you. Some of us need to spend a little more time asking, a little less time trying to solve it on our own. Amen? All right. Again, we could go deep into that, but we're going to move on. But what a great verse. A good one for us to memorize and to meditate. Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16. Also, I remind you, when you ask for help, that the Lord has promised something that we saw even in our song today, and that is rest beneath his wing. Didn't Diane do a good job of sharing that picture of the mama hen, right? Let's look together at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does Jesus call here? It's to come. Some people will not come to church because they think they have to do all these things. They feel like they're not contributing if they're not doing X or Y or Z. And I would remind you today, the call very simply is to come. Come be present. You have no clue. And other preachers in the room today, you could back me up on this. You people have no clue how much you bring just with your very presence. Just you being here is blessing to so many people. I know you get up some Sundays, you're like, I'm tired, nobody's going to miss me. Or, I got a special breakfast today, nobody will miss me. Well, I know I've been there a couple times, nobody's going to. I'm going to tell you, your presence is so powerful if you will come. And Jesus called her disciples here in this place is to come and find rest. He will give us his yoke. He will give us what the work he has for us, but what he's going to deliver is rest. Again, hear me this morning. This is not seven steps to better living. It's not do these certain things and you're in. The call is to come, and even the call is restful. Jesus doesn't need our filthy rags. He doesn't need our righteousness. What he asks of us is to come. As a matter of fact, you don't have to be strong. You can be weary and burdened. And look at this. I love this. You can be weary and burdened. It's a prerequisite. Diane, can you hit the next slide right there? Look at that. Jesus isn't looking for the strong. He's not looking for the powerful. He's not looking for the people who have it all together. How many people got it all together this morning? It's a prerequisite.
that you're weary and you're burdened and you need help.
Isn't the Lord good?
And he says, come, I have rest for you. But our job is to obediently come when he calls. I love this about the gospel. I love this about Jesus' invitation. Again, it's not the list of what to do. It's come to me. Quit stressing. Quit worrying about your to-do list. Come near to me. Quit stressing about your accomplishments or the lack thereof. Come close to me. How can we make this space and this place an invitation, a continuing invitation of the Lord's invitation to come? And then, of course, the promise is, the promise is rest. Safe in the arms of the one who died for us and who lives for us. But we have to humble ourselves, be willing to share our hurts with the people who love us. Don't keep stuffing it down. All right. Remember, right? Remember, you're not alone. Ask for help. Everybody tracking with me? You're almost there. You're two-thirds of the way. The last thing this morning, and this was one that's so good to me, and this is what I'm really working on in my own heart. Focus on what is to come. I think this is the hardest thing for most of us today, and that is to really see the reality of invisible things. To see the reality of invisible things. Diane was sharing this morning about Sunday school, a quote from Billy Graham. And Billy Graham basically said, you're going to hear a day that people are going to say Billy Graham has died. He's no longer alive. They're lying. I'll be more alive now than I have ever been. Amen. And we have to see the reality of the eternal, the reality of the invisible. We're going to look at that just briefly this morning. Let's look first in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Paul here writing Romans 8, 18. He says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Have any of you ever experienced a paper cut? I heard some moaning and suffering right there, right? You would think, like, for some people, the paper cut is the end of the world, wouldn't you? Oh, and then if your mom gets a hold of you and she tries to put some alcohol or some iodine, the old folks would know the iodine tricks. Oh, but the burn, right? Oh, the pain. But the healing that is to come doesn't even compare to the paper cut, right? For those of you, again, I'm not any kind of, I've never been much for sewing clothes, but from you that have worked with clothes, you ever got your finger pricked by a pin? One of my favorite pastors, Brother Rob Morgan, he shared that the idea of the suffering that we're talking about now, he's talking about diabetes, he's talking about cancer, he's talking about just a complete weariness, he's talking about the facing of all the things that come with old age. He says, they're just a pinprick. I'm like, what? Some of you are working through those things right now, right? A pinprick. He says, when you compare them with what's in store for the believer, it might as well be a paper cut. It might as well be a pinprick because it doesn't even begin to compare. That's what Paul is trying to share with us here in Romans chapter 8. Today, if we could make a deal, and the deal would be Gwendolyn Penn could pinch you, and if you would let her do that, you would get $1 million. Who all would go for a little bit of suffering? Now, Isaiah might share that you don't really know the Gwendolyn Penn pinch. It's very powerful. But again, the idea of comparing the wealth and the abundance and the glory with what is just such a small thing in comparison. This is what is to bring us perspective. Our present sufferings, whether they be persecution or loss of health, or the hurting over losing their loved ones. Our present suffering, we don't want to minimize that. And yet at the same time, what we want to say is it does not begin to compare with the glory that is being revealed. For those who know God, who have been redeemed by Christ,
There is going to be a glorious transformation in the near future. This old body will be made new. We will finally belong. All those who have gone before us, trusting in Christ, we will see them again. There is a hurt now. There is a pinch now. But it is nothing compared to the wonder that is coming. Put your focus on the glory that is coming. I'm trying to encourage you and me today. What are you thinking about?
Food.
I'm with you, Logan. That's right where I was going. Logan and I are in the same wavelength. What is for lunch? We're going to be packing up those homeless meals, and I'll be like, man, I wish I had some chips and a sandwich right now. That's how it happens, right? And some of you are thinking about bills. Some of you thinking about maintenance for your house, some things you got to do. Some of you are trying to figure out how to fix your car. Some of you are thinking about tomorrow, what you got to do at work. And we live in this reality, right? But the challenge the Lord brings to us today is don't miss the eternal while you're looking on the temporary. I promise you, what is coming is glorious. And we need help with that. So let's look together in 2 Corinthians 4:16. So good. We're going to finish this scripture right here. Therefore, Paul again writes to the church of Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Listen again, verse 17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. Hang on. Take a look at Paul's back. What did he say? Light, momentary. Remember, he was stoned and he was left for dead. That's how badly he was beaten with the stoning. Light, momentary. Floating out on a ship on a piece of plank of wood at sea. Light, momentary. All the burdens of all the mission churches he was setting up. Light and momentary. Because, verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary and what is seen is eternal. Here's the heart's the challenge, isn't it, right? He basically says, see the invisible. What? See the unseen. And what I'm challenging you today, I promise you with all my heart, with every fiber of my being, heaven is real. It is real. As real as you and I are standing here. As real as we might shake hands or give one another a hug. Heaven is that real. It's present now. People are already rejoicing and celebrating and spending time together in the presence of the Lord in heaven. It is real. But we, where we live and the space we live now, it is hard to see it sometimes, isn't it? Right? And so that's part of why we come to church. That's why we have to challenge each other and encourage each other and pray for one another and help each other through the temporary. Because we need to remind each other about what is eternal. Some of us today, I'm just trying to be honest, but also be compassionate and kind. If the Lord tarries and if things go to plan, we don't have that many more days here. Right? You know the suffering, you know the hurt, you know the thing. But what I'm telling you today is the Lord's promise is real. Just like Billy Graham said, don't listen to those liars that say that guy's dead. He's not. He's more alive than he ever was. We've got to encourage each other in that and help us keep our hope and our eyes fixed on what is most important. Ultimately, what this comes down to, all of these things, whether it is remembering we're not alone, whether it is humbling ourselves to ask for help, whether it's focusing what is to come, we're kind of going to end where we started with the last song this morning, right? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. What Jesus is saying today to all of us today is trust me. You're walking into this space and you're hurting. You got to trust me. You're walking into this place and your family, something's not right. You got to trust me. You're walking into this place and you don't know how you're going to pay the bill for this or that. You got to trust me. You're going to go downtown and try to love people who are completely different than you. You got to trust me. Right? The Lord is calling us today to trust him in the things that we cannot see. This is the hope that the gospel brings. God has made a way, and even now he's reconciling you and me to himself. Let's stand this morning.